You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's Oppen Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980, even though I just disappeared off the screen on YouTube. Got a double screen action today. Got stuff going on this other computer, and so sometimes you get the side of my head. I don't know what to tell you. All right, it's 5 o'clock. We got a lot of stuff happening, but there is no bigger story in the district than what is going on with the Nationals. And so with that, it is time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Our old pal Byron Kerr is with us, a longtime contributor to 106.7 The Fan, a Nationals insider. He's a journalist. He writes for MLB.com. He does all kinds of stuff, and especially in the world of baseball. Byron, good to talk, my friend. How are you?
Hey, Craig. Great to be with you again. How are you doing?
I am doing well, and I'll be doing better once you can explain to me what on earth is happening with the Washington Nationals. There's a lot to get into here. Let's start off on the field, Byron, just very simply. This 10-game losing streak, what are the Nationals not doing that they were doing 2 weeks prior, or for the 2 weeks prior, when they had gotten themselves within two games of 500, again, just 2 weeks ago?
It's been a struggle offensively. Last night they did score six runs, but that's because they scored four in the ninth. And, you know, since that Seattle and Arizona series that you're talking about, where they were scoring nine runs every single game, you're like, all right, this is what I'm talking about. They have absolutely struggled to generate some offense. They've moved C.J. Abrams around. You know, James Wood has been outstanding. He is very good. Luis Garcia Jr. has been pretty good as well. But, you know, Josh Bell hasn't done nothing pretty much from the DH role. You know, his batting average with balls in play is 196. That's the worst, Craig, of his career. And they just don't have a thump in the lineup besides James Wood. Nathaniel Lowe did get a home run late last night. But there's just not much charge in this offense. That's why Brady House is here, and that's why they tried to do some different things. K-Bear Ruiz has absolutely struggled this year offensively. He's already down in the eight hole now. You know, Jacob Young is going to get on base, but he's not going to provide power for you. So there just isn't much electricity to this lineup, and that's been a huge part of why they have struggled in June.
So when asked about it this weekend, now infamously, Davey Martinez said, well, the player's got to play, basically. And, you know, he tried to clarify those remarks, and he said it clearly out of frustration, you know, said it's all on the players. But what, like, is it that simple? Like, if we're taking the controversy of the comments out of it, like, are these guys in the right positions? Are the coaches putting them in positions to succeed and they're just not doing it? Is this just baseball? Like, why do we think this is happening, if there is a reason to be had?
I mean, there's, you put it right there, is that, you know, they're putting these players in the positions to succeed, but it's not working out. You know, and you notice a lot when you watch the Nationals, there's first pitch swinging. They go after counts early on. And, you know, I was in the Colorado clubhouse after the game, and, you know, their pitcher, Antonio Senzabelis, was talking about, you know, they knew that the Nationals were going to be aggressive early on, so they had to be very careful with the first few pitches in each at-bat. That's something that, you know, the Nationals are kind of known for, is going after pitches in the count early. And, you know, sometimes it works, but sometimes it doesn't work. And when you get into these frustration situations, and what Davey kind of alluded to this week is that guys are trying to do too much. And when you try to do too much, you kind of force the issue and try to accelerate the offense a little bit early in counts. And you go after some bad pitches and you ground out, or you pop up, or you just don't get enough of each at bat. And that's happened way too many times for this team. It's a young team. There are a lot of young and moving parts and excitement, you know, with the young guys coming up. But the mixture of veterans and young guys is not working out, you know, so far in the last few weeks. And it's a struggle. They just cannot seem to find a good consistency offensively. And, you know, with as bad as the relief pitching has been, you know, I think the starters have had their moments. Mitchell Parker's lost four in a row, and he's trying to change that tonight. But, you know, the bullpen has been so bad that they haven't been able to, you know, secure leads early in games, and then it becomes a big mess, as it did last night with Cole Henry and the four homers in the sixth inning. So with the relief pitching not being great and the offense not scoring runs, they haven't been able to hold on late in games and win those games when they're close. And, you know, absolutely, they need more punch offensively, but it's not just the offense, right? They've got some other issues.
Byron Kerr with us here on the Hoffman Show. So then we get to the manager, because, like, if we're just adults about it, Byron, like, if they were to get swept by the Rockies after being swept by the Marlins, that is the kind of thing that costs a manager his job in Major League Baseball. It's the kind of thing that loses your job in other sports, whatever that equivalent is. Do we think that Davey is in legitimate trouble here, though, especially after we heard Rizzo this morning on the Junkies be like, hey, we all got to do better, and kind of give the diplomatic, even if it is correct, answer?
Yeah, you know, they're kind of a two-party in this, right? It's Rizzo and Davey together. They're going to protect each other. They were here when they won the World Championship. And, you know, they have set the tone since then. And, you know, what Davey said the other night, obviously, as you just mentioned, Craig, it's out of frustration. And, you know, one of the cardinal sins you can make in those situations when you're asked a question like that is to move the way he did. You know, so many times you just have to bite your tongue and you have to say, you know what, I'm going to do a better job. Our coaches are going to do a better job. We're going to put these guys in the position to win. But, you know, it was in the middle of a 7-8-9-10-game losing streak, and, you know, frustration got to Davey, and he got protective of the coaching staff that he put together. These are all of his guys. All of his guys he moved in over the last 5-6 years since they won the championship, and he's protecting them, and that's what he probably meant to say in that situation. But it came off as, you know, hey, coaches coach, players have to hit, or players have to pitch. And, you know, it comes off in the wrong way. And it's so difficult in any sport, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, hockey, you know, but you have to fall on the sword if you're the coach. And that's easy for me to say, Craig, talking to you, because he's had to live this through, you know, almost, you know, 100 games. And, you know, it just came out the wrong way. And, yeah, that's why you're seeing, you know, Rizzo protect him, because I think they're a package deal. I think they're protected, for, you know, with each other. I don't know how far the learners will go or how far the front office will go to try to push us, because you're right. Other teams have fired their managers for less already this season. And the easiest way to shake things up is to fire the manager. The easiest way to get these young guys maybe to get their attention is to get a good new guy in charge and say, okay, we need to have a different voice. We need to have a different way to try to go out there and win games. And, you know, Davey's done a lot of great things. He is an outstanding manager in so many respects. He won the World Series with him. Good guy to talk to. Very easygoing. But, you know, a lot of good managers and a lot of good coaches in different sports have lost their jobs for less. So it seems to me, from the situation that I see, that him and Mike Rizzo are fine. They're not going anywhere. But when you start losing 9, 10, 11, 12 games in a row, you know, the fans, the players, even themselves, you know, the organization has to kind of look in the mirror and say, well, we got to do something, right? We're not going to just continue down this road. And maybe a hard decision like that has to be made.
So one of the things that Rizzo said this morning to the Junkies, Byron, that I thought was interesting, and I will admit I do not follow the Nationals closely enough to definitively know this one way or the other, but it didn't feel like it was correct. But you do, so I get to ask you now. He said that like Davey's great with the young players, and oh, there's the track record. And I'm like, well, we know he was good with the vets. That's how he won the World Series. But one of the big complaints of the last, since the World Series, has been the lack of development of any of these young players into stardom. And maybe some of them are on their way, the James Woods, etc. But as someone who's around this club all the time, like, how is Davey with young guys, and how suited is he to be someone who is in charge of a rebuild versus using the skills that we know he has to lead a veteran team to a championship?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much on his coaching staff and the way he acts around them, the way he leads them. You know, they're going to follow from what he says. And you're right. You know, when things were going great, you know, you can see how Davey's leadership had helped the entire team, because they had the veterans that also were kind of managers in the clubhouse. And they don't have as many of those, it seems like, as they did when they were really, really good. You know, but he does spend a lot of time with these guys before the games, after the games, a lot of closed-door meetings, a lot of times in his office, a lot of times in batting practice, a lot of times in fielding practice. So he is spending a lot of time with these guys. But, you know, they are impressionable, and a lot of times when the Nationals were really good, they had those leaders like Ryan Zimmerman or Adam LaRoche or, you know, Howie Kendrick, that kind of led by example because they had been there and done that already. And we do have a few of those guys on this team. I'm not taking away from the veterans we do have. But, you know, it's not just the manager. You know, as he was kind of saying, it's not just the coaches. You know, the clubhouse has to kind of lead itself as well. So that's a great question. You know, how good is he with the young guys? You know, this is the time for the Nationals. They're going to have 1-1. They're going to have the number one overall selection coming up, you know, just like they did back in 2009 and 2010. They have put together a lot of good quality talent because of having to trade such big-time players like Juan Soto and Trey Turner and Max Scherzer over the years. You know, they have some guys that are top 10 performers. And it's going to be, you know, how Davey Martinez's resume is going to look after these next few years. It's, are these guys, you know, will C.J. Abrams become a star? Will, you know, Luis Garcia Jr. has been here for a while. You know, we need to see them become, you know, the top all-star performers, or even, you know, maybe in the top 15 they need to be. Absolutely, it's on Davey Martinez. And the longer you go, you know, I guess I may answer my question the long way. The longer you go, it's more and more going to be on Davey, and, you know, how he acts around these young guys versus how he acts around the veterans.
Byron Kerr, where should people go if people want to read or listen to more for you these days, Byron? What's the best spot for them?
Well, you mentioned it. I did Associated Press last night, and MLB.com. I'm covering the Nationals and their opponents July 1st through the 6th. So I'll be doing a lot of that this summer. And, of course, you can hear my dulcet tones as the stadium announcer for D.C. United. So
there you go.
You know, they're kind of in a little weird time here where the FIFA World Cup has taken over.
Yes.
The Club World Cup has taken over at Audi Field. But
kick off at like 9 o'clock tonight Washington for that, Spirit, by the way, right? Like, what are we doing?
So hopefully, but that'll be fun tonight to see some incredible club Juventus come in and play there. So, yeah. DC United, MajorLeagueBaseball.com, and AP. That's where you can catch me.
All right.
On 106.7 The Fan.
Of course. And here on the Team 980, whenever we call you.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Byron, it's great. Great to chat. Hopefully I'll see you around some point soon. Appreciate it. Thanks.
A great show.
That is Byron Kerr with us here on The Hoffman Show. All right, when we get back, great stuff from Byron there, and plenty to chew on the Davey Martinez stuff. I'm sure we'll continue to cover that as this story goes. Or the Nats will start winning again, and we can say, like, hey, remember that weird mid-June lull that they were on where we thought everyone was going to get fired? But we have enormous breaking news. In fact, the biggest team sale in the history of pro sports is reportedly been agreed upon. We'll tell you more about it and what it means next on The Hoffman Show.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Never heard this version of the instrumental before, Anthony.
I haven't either, Craig.
You just like found a new folder today, didn't you?
Yeah. I told you they updated this folder over here, so it has like everything.
All right.
So some days I'm going to be feeling like playing, you know, future Lil Wayne. Some days I'm going to give you a little Bruce Springsteen. Some days I want to give you some... Misery Business. No, not Paramore. We're not doing that.
No, I learned only when Clinton's going to be on the show. And boy, do we have something to talk about with Clinton on Friday. Mr. L.A.
Yes, we do.
Which is what we're going to talk about in a second. I will say, my dad, there's a chance my parents are listening to the show right now. Like, they listen sometimes anyway on the Odyssey app, like down from South Carolina, but they're like up this weekend. So, and they're driving around up to my sister's place right now. So they could be listening on the old AM radio. My dad, at this point, I'm sorry, Mom, because my dad would be belting out the words and being like, Craig, stop talking over the song.
Has he left Bruce?
Yeah. He's a Jewish man in his 60s. Like, come on. From New York. Of course he loves Bruce Springsteen. It's part and parcel of the territory. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We'll do a ton more on this on Friday. God, we have way too much on the show on Friday. I'm now actually almost mad we're off tomorrow. Can I get a random day off next week? I got stuff to talk about. Is that possible? What, Anthony, you go on vacation next week. I want to go on vacation next week too. This week, got stuff to do. But that's not how holidays work, and tomorrow's an important one. But anyway, the point is, the Los Angeles Lakers are going up for sale, or slash have been purchased, at a valuation of $10 billion. This is, by far and away, the most expensive team sale in the history of professional sports. It surpasses the Washington Commanders sale for $6.2 billion. There's some other like pro soccer team sales in England that have been up north of 5 million. There are some that I think could probably gain in the $8 billion range. We were just talking in the break, like the Yankees, the Cowboys, they would probably be up around this range for what the Lakers just went for. But the sale is significant for a ton of reasons. One, just the idea that the Buss family isn't going to own the Lakers is nuts. Now, they're apparently still going to be involved, and they're selling it to Mark Walter. Walter is an investor who is apparently even richer than people thought. It was funny because his net worth was thought to be about $6 billion. And then last October, Bloomberg was like, actually, we think it's 12. Just became more. And he was already a 20% stake owner in the Lakers, and he is a part of the ownership group of the Dodgers. So he is not new to owning teams in LA. Obviously, the Dodgers have been fantastic. Lakers fans are probably thrilled about this because, frankly, while the Buss family has historic lore and Jerry Buss will forever be seen as a god in Los Angeles because of what he did building the Showtime Lakers, like, the Lakers have not been a model NBA franchise in a long time. They've been very, very lucky that various players have come to them. But basically, since Jerry Buss died and they kicked Jerry West out of the franchise, so we're talking, I mean, really, even the last great move the Lakers made was a Jerry West move. It just so happened that he was the executive in charge in Memphis who traded them Pau Gasol. And everyone thought that was such a gift. And then Mark Gasol was the best player the Grizzlies got for a decade. And he was, a part of that trade for his brother. So it's been a long time since the Lakers have been a model NBA franchise. They are very mom and pop in how they run things, which, you know, is how the Buss family wanted it. Very insular. And now you're talking about the glamour franchise of the NBA, hopefully acting like a model franchise, which is going to mean spending money. I know that, for instance, J.J. Redick has talked about, you know, investing more in some of the R&D, the research and development type of stuff, getting a better analytics department, getting more on the training side. Like, this, I think, is kind of should be terrifying for the rest of the league. Ownership matters in sports, and I know I don't have to preach that with any length. I can just say ownership matters, and everyone around D.C., after seeing what happened in the last year with Josh Harris's group, goes, Like, if ownership matters in sports and the Lakers have won as much as they've won with bad ownership since the mid-2000s, really, since Jeannie and Jim and all the rest of the Buss kids were fighting over the team and doing a bad job with it, extending Kobe Bryant's career or his contract longer than they should have in a way that was kind of a gift to Kobe, and then getting lucky with LeBron and then kind of messing up not messing up, but like they definitely haven't done great with terms of the coach hirings and the GM stuff. Like, if I'm Rob Pelinka, I'm like, I hope that I do a good job in the next, and maybe the Luka trade just saved my ass because I haven't had a great record as GM here. The Lakers now are going to be willing to spend at a much higher level, like well into the luxury tax, much easier than with the Busses. They will invest in the organization in major, major ways, I am sure. And as much as you can buy in the NBA, given that the fact that there is ultimately still a salary cap, but all the other stuff that you can pay for, the Lakers will now act like you think the Lakers should. And I think that is a good thing if you are a Laker fan. If you're a fan of another team, I'm curious to see what it means. I'll put it that way. We're a long way from knowing. It's going to take a couple years for all this stuff to flush out. And obviously, ultimately, you are defined by your roster is the number one thing. But this is an enormous deal, both from historic sense and the Buss family. Even though Jeannie's going to still serve as the governor, at least for now, she's still going to be involved and will be the representative in league meetings and such. The fact that the financial balance sheet of the Lakers just changed is huge for the basketball, and the significance of the Buss family no longer being the majority owners in basketball or of the Lakers is significant as well from a storyline standpoint. And I think last but not least, too, like, it just furthers the NBA down a path that a lot of sports are on right now, which is to say that if you don't have new money, big time investor type owners, you're going to get left behind. I think the Steelers are experiencing this in the NFL. the Bengals some of their problems like come from the fact that they've got this family that owns them, that has owned them forever, and is rich by any other standard, in part because they own the football team, but that's their entire net worth. They don't have investment money. They don't have billions and billions and billions. And if you're not owned by a super duper rich family and or group of families, you're suddenly behind. And what that means for pro sports is like an interesting conversation, one that I need to call my guy, Eben Nobi Williams at Sportico and have, because he'd be the right person to talk about with it. Mark that down for next week, Anthony, before you go on vacation or after. I don't really care. Maybe we do it after. You're not here. That way I got something to do. But this is something that is a larger conversation within sports, and there has never been a more glaring example of it than, holy crap, the Lakers just sold for $10 billion. When we get back, never read the comments.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. It's 5:30 on a Wednesday, which is not typically the time we do never read the comments, but we don't have a show tomorrow, so maybe we should read some comments.
We tried to warn them. They didn't listen. Every week, the Hoffman Show goes into the belly of the beast.
We read those comments, baby!
Never read the comments.
All right, we got a lot of different stuff. A potpourri, if you will, of never read the comments this week. We got some football, We got some soccer in here. Soccer. We got some shout outs in the comments. We got some of them at Craig Hoffman. We got some of them at the Team 980. There's a lot of different stuff we got. Let's start off with some fun ones, kind of warm it up as we tend to do. We start off with some comments on Take Command. And Anthony, this made me laugh. So we're talking about all the scheme stuff with Jaden and the different up-tempo stuff that Cliff uses. And I was like, you know, we can get it. I remember saying it. And then I remember thinking, there's going to be people that ask for this. But I remember going, you know, we could get really into the nitty gritty here. We'd probably lose people, but, you know, we'd be here for an hour and we don't have time for that. And sure enough, Anthony, I should have known better than to threaten people with a good time. Bladeum D6029. More nitty gritty, please. To which Norm Adamus says, yup, I was like, hit us with it, guys. I'll stay up late and watch for hours. I should have known better, Anthony. Should have known better than to threaten folks with a good time.
Yep.
There's also this one from Maddie McMatmat, which, again, real thing. Maddie McMat, Matt, but the last M-A-T, or last Matt is only M-A-T. The others, M-A-T-T-Y, McMat, M-A-T-T, M-A-T. Some inconsistency there, Maddie McMatmat.
I was about to say, what in the world?
And in case there's multiple Maddie McMatmats, this one's Maddie McMatmat 5822. Says, Monolith and Obelisk, Logan is the professor for a reason. Logan's a funny man. Because sometimes he says really big words and you're just like, you're the smartest person I've ever met. And there's other times where he hasn't heard of something or like he's not, because he's not super online. He's out there being Dad Logan and Coach Logan and Analyst Logan. And I'm like, do you live under a rock? Funny guy, that Logan Paulson.
That's your man, man.
That is my guy. My guy. I love that funny man, Logan Paulson. And he also has no problem laughing himself when he's like, yep, I sure do live under a rock. What are you talking about? This thing that everyone is talking about. All right, let's get to the football. And we got first a response to our segment, Anthony, about whether or not the Commanders have done enough to address the defensive line issues that made them not successful against the Philadelphia Eagles last year. Kaiser Soze 540 says, Craig, stop making Dante Fowler the scapegoat for our run defense. He was a situational pass rusher and the only one that could win one-on-one. 10.5 sacks and a touchdown. Our tackles, linebackers, and defensive ends were atrocious against the run, and none of them can win one-on-one. Situational pass rusher, he says. Right? Right? Anthony. How many defensive ends, edge players, played more snaps than Dante Fowler for the Washington Commanders in 2024?
I'm going to say Dorrance.
You can stop naming people. That's it. That's the list.
I'm about to say, I think that's it.
He was supposed to be a situational pass rusher. He was not a situational pass rusher. He was an every down type of player. That was the problem. And making sure that that was not going to be the case again was why they, I think, had a disagreement over him coming back. He probably was like, I played great. I want to do this again. And they were like, yeah, you played more and better than we expected. But like, that's a relative thing. We expected you to be awful against the run if you ever had to be an every down player. And you were merely bad, my guy. And so that's the thing is he wound up playing a lot more than he was supposed to. And there were some times that he won one-on-one and took guesses and made tackles for loss. And like, he was an impactful player. Sometimes the impact was negative. And unfortunately, against the Eagles specifically, there's a couple of the big plays that go off of left end that are right end defensively, left side of the offensive line, that are Dante Fowler's fault. The first big run, the 60-yard touchdown from Saquon Barkley in the NFC Championship game, is because Dante Fowler does a dum-dum. He spins back inside, takes out two of his own guys, including Bobby Wagner, and Saquon's out the gate. Like, it happens, but it shouldn't happen on the first play of the game because you do something outrageous that you know better than to do, especially against that team with that guy. So it's not about like making Dante Fowler a scapegoat. It's saying, hey, this is the problem was we didn't have the players last year to make it so that Dante Fowler was a situational pass rusher, something he can be very good at and is his highest and best use. Thus, he was overexposed, and thus the exposure caused problems. This year, with guys like Future Kwize, they have better first and second down edge players, more options out there. Cleveland Furl, a backup as opposed to a starter, and a guy that was supposed to be the starter over Fowler last year, and then he was hurt most of the year. They have the depth. They have the pieces. Kinlaw can play out there. Payne can play a big edge if they really need. Jacob Martin is the situational pass rusher, and he's not as good as Fowler, but it is what it is. Like, they have the depth this year to do some different stuff, or they can play some 3-4 looks with Frankie out on the edge, and they have the beef inside to make that work. So I just think that, like, again, if we're not trying to blame anybody in particular. Fowler's name comes up a lot because of the Eagles game and the specific 60-yard touchdown. But it's a much bigger story about what Dante Fowler playing as much as he did last year meant for that version of the Commanders versus what it's going to be this year with him not in the picture at all and significantly better run players, more balanced first and second down players being on the field for those snaps.
Yeah, I mean, I think the team understood, you know, what our Achilles heel was last year, and they made the necessary, you know, acquisitions to address that problem. Just like offensively, they understood what one of our Achilles heels, I think, you know, just being behind on the sticks and, you know, all these penalties that were caused by, you know, Coleman or, you know, whoever. But I just think they took a full review of the season, addressed those problems in the offseason, and hopefully it's going to end up, you know, being better for us. But us not bringing Dante Fowler back, I don't think is going to be the end of the world.
No, I mean, I think they would have loved to bring him back, but it was pretty clear that they wanted him back in a certain role, and he did not like that, as seen by the social media activity that that followed. All right, this one was on our Take Command mailbag, Anthony. This one from a Team 980 comment from Jacob. And we were talking on Take Command about how the Commanders did last year and, you know, what happens if Jaden is better this year and some of the situational stuff. And Jacob says, we won a lot of games on the last drive. I don't think it is safe to assume that we will just win 12 again if all things stay the same. We could have easily been 7-10 last year, and us being better than the other team was not always how we won. New Orleans came back to beat us, and by an inch, a backup DB got a fingertip on a ball, and they didn't. The Cowboys swept us pretty handily until our backup came in and threw a wrench in their plan. The Bears overcame a dominant performance by the Commanders, then gave up a Hail Mary. How many Hail Marys do you think we're going to get this year? The schedule is rough. I got 11 really hard games and, of course, 6 any given Sunday dates. I believe we are good. Cincinnati is good. How are they looking? I'm bracing for a disappointing 25 and then a comeback 26 season. I think this is, I mean, one, nobody knows. That's what it means to be in June in the NFL, and it is June 18th today. So I have no idea. But I think the hope is that they will not have to rely on the high variance stuff that they did last year. Unbelievable excellence, historic excellence on fourth down. Scrambling at such a high rate from Jaden Daniels. Obviously, tremendous situational football, a lot of really good third down performances. Obviously, their 2-minute stuff was insanely good, both at end of half and end of games, both offensively, frankly, and defensively. Like, there was just so much good situational football. They are trying to, with how they are building it this year, the offensive line getting better and the defensive line getting better specifically, that is how you get better first and second down. You become more efficient, and that allows you to get more chunk plays offensively. It allows you to be in better situations defensively. And that lack of variance means that you don't have to rely upon the stuff that I think you saw last year and thus all those close games, because you're going to play a slightly different style. That also means, like, one of the things that was high variance that is basically unrepeatable from last year is you're not going to have as many, and I don't even know if this is high variance, it's just highly unlikely is a better way to put it, right? Doc, how many times did they go on like 18 play drives last year?
A couple of times.
I felt like there were two or three every game. It was crazy.
We had one on the first drive against the Eagles.
Yeah, just like, oh, we're going to take 7 minutes off the clock, and now we're halfway through the first quarter, and it's 7-0 Commanders on a 14-play, 80-yard drive where they converted 3 third downs and 2 fourth downs. Oh, okay. Not going to do that this year. The hope is that, hey, Laremy Tunsil's here. Offensive line's a little better. Jaden's got a little extra time. Let's hit that shot down the field to Terry. Let's hit that shot down the field to, you know, let's have time for this high crossing route to play out, and we can hit Debo on the run at 18 yards and let him run away from people. Like, these are the kinds of things. Let's get the ball 60 yards down the field to Noah Brown, and he can either catch it or draw a PI, and we can get a chunk play that way. These are the kinds of things that you're hoping can happen this year. And then the reverse is true on the other side. Oh, hey, it's 2nd and 4 because he just ran the ball for 6 yards on first down. Now our entire playbook's open. We can run the ball again and feel good about it. We can pass the ball short. We can pass the ball off play action. We can just take a straight 7-step drop and chuck the ball down the field. Like, at 2nd and 4, the world is your oyster. Now it's going to be 2nd and 8 because we got dudes who can stop the run. And like, that's the plan for the Commanders. And so I do think some of their situational excellence was not as quite high variance as traditionally those situations are, because the Commanders practiced them at such a high level and with such frequency that it wasn't an accident that they were masters. It wasn't luck that they were masters of situational football. But when you invest in the offensive and defensive line, the result is you don't have to rely on that stuff as much because you can just convert more often or prevent the other team from being in good situations and converting as often. And I think the team clearly attacked the offseason that way. Now, does that mean with the harder schedule that they're going to win 12 games? No. But if you can win 10 or 11 and be fresh going into the playoffs with some good injury luck again, then you're in good shape. And that's what we got to say about that.
Yeah, my bad.
Normally you react, Anthony. It's kind of I know that sometimes it feels like I'm dribbling for 22 seconds and I lob you a grenade at the end, but you typically stay ready to shoot. And I looked over and I was like, oh, that ball just landed out of bounds.
Yeah, that was my bad. I was sending an email.
Oh, was it an important one?
Yes, it was.
Oh, okay. That's good. All right, Anthony, I got this one because it's a soccer question. That okay?
Is this the spirit?
No, it's not a spirit. It's a U.S. men's national team.
Oh, U.S.
team.
Men's national team. You got that.
Yeah,
sure.
you go send it an email. I'm going to activate one shot. Anthony, off screen. This one from Ronald Tillman. This is an argument that is as old as time, and it's as tired as it is old. We did a segment with our guy Jeff Reuter from The Athletic on the U.S. men's national team and the struggle that they have faced and the terrible situation they look to be in going into the weekend. Now, of course, they went out and beat Trinidad and Tobago 5-0 to open the Gold Cup, so maybe we know nothing. But realistically, when you look at certain statistics and rankings, they are the worst they've been not only recently, but in 25 years. And that is 1 year ahead of when they're going to host the World Cup. Not great. And so Ronald writes in, soccer heads in this country need to understand that the vast majority of Americans aren't that into soccer. Our best athletes that could excel in the sport are playing football as wide receivers and DBs or basketball as guards. We simply don't care as much as the world does otherwise. Our best athletes would participate in the sport at a much higher rate. Ronald, I have bad news for you. This take stinks. This take is stupid. To pretend like the soccer players that we produce aren't great athletes is not the problem. It's a fundamental misunderstanding of what the issue is with the U.S. men's national team program. The athleticism isn't the problem. Typically, the U.S. has actually had one of the more athletic rosters of any team in the world. When they've been good, they've been able to out-athlete other better footballing nations. And then the response for years was, well, we're not technical enough. And so in a truly American answer, everyone's like, get out the cones! And then you have a youth program that's built on a zillion cone drills in a sport that requires tremendous creativity and problem solving and fluidity and togetherness. And so the youth system in this country is not really designed to, as on the men's side especially, to foster, and not to mention, it's a sport that became very expensive at the youth level. So some of our more creative players that might have been great are playing out on the street somewhere and aren't playing travel soccer and not getting into the right youth programs and getting noticed by the right people. Like, we're wasting talent. We're a country of, at this point, nearly 400 million people. We can't find 11, 22, 25, 26 to make up a roster that's competitive? No. It's not because Russell Westbrook decided he wanted to play basketball instead of soccer. Like, would Russell Westbrook potentially be a great soccer player? Maybe, but there aren't a ton of great players that are 6'3 running around. Like, sure, you got some defenders. You got some players that are, you know, basketball guard size. You got some that are DB size. Like, Messi's 5'8", maybe. Like, it's a different body type with different skills. And to pretend like there's an athleticism problem, that our best athletes are doing other stuff, is a fundamental misunderstanding of the problem. We have a lack of cohesion and a lack of vision and a lack of togetherness and purpose and so many things that make great teams that has caused problems in the U.S. soccer system. It's not getting the most out of what are actually very talented and athletic players. And that's not to say the players aren't at any fault, but it's not what it could be if there were some different choices made by U.S. soccer over the years. So, Ronald, I hope that helps. Anthony, anything you'd like to add at the end, or did I cover it for what we needed there?
Craig, you did a fantastic job.
Thanks.
ISO shot. You got to the basket. You finger roll high off the backboard, just like you're taught. Great job.
Thanks. Did you finish your email?
I did.
Okay, excellent. Last but not least, we had our guy Mo Egger on. Anthony, this is our little dessert at the end. We had our guy Mo Egger on from 1530 in Cincinnati, and I put Mo on the spot, and I was like, all right, Shamar Stewart of the Bengals, like, who's right here? And people really enjoyed that, including Justin Evans, 182, who says, shout out to Craig Bleepin' Hoffman for just straight up asking Mo to pick sides. Exemplary work. I'm going to do that more often. I'm going to start putting people on the spot. I hated it when I was a guest on shows. Actually, that's not true. Sometimes I'm just like, hey, can we stop circling and can we just land the plane? If I don't want to pick a side, I won't. I can give a convoluted answer. People that listen to this show are like, sure you can, buddy. But sometimes there's a clear thing. You just got to know, hey, is there a clear hero and villain here? And if so, who's who? And that's why I get paid whatever bucks I get paid.
The big bucks.
I said what I said. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And here on the Team 980, we're your home for Wizards basketball. And 1 week from tonight, the Washington Wizards and the rest of the NBA will embark on the first round of the NBA draft. Our guy David Aldridge did his NBA Draft Confidential, which is one of my favorite articles of the year. It's actually coming out in three parts. The guards came out today, forwards tomorrow, bigs on Friday. So what are top NBA scouts, executives, and college coaches saying about the top prospects at the guard position in this class? And how does that shape what we feel like the Wizards should do? We will discuss next on the Team 980.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month.
Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.